we could say that I chose this, that there was a part of me that said, yes, I'll sign up for this. And that not only did I choose this, it's gonna make me cry, but that I was chosen, that I was so trusted, that my soul, that the divine, that God trusted me so much and said, I know that you can endure this. I know you can do this. And you're gonna come out so much better on the other side. So that's one spectrum to the other.
Welcome to Beyond Busy, the podcast where we redefine success and explore what exists beyond the hustle. I'm your host, Marissa Hohaya, CEO and founder of Breakup with Busy. I'm a former top executive recruiter turned multi-certified coach and energy healer, and I'm on a mission to help high-achieving women rediscover who they are beyond their achievements, resumes, and to-do lists to manifest a meaningful, soulful life from flow, not force. Join me each week in conversation with dynamic guests as we dive into what lies beyond busy. Through the lens of psychology, spirituality, and energetics, we uncover insights on manifesting a fulfilling and wildly abundant life. If you're seeking balance, impact, and connection, this podcast is for you. It's time to free yourself from doubt, fear, and the pursuit of hustle, and step into who you came here to be. Tune in to Beyond Busy and let's embark on this journey together. Our guest today is Jessica Lamar, a two-time best-selling author, host of the Love Personal Growth podcast, founder of Love Personal Growth, mother of three, and spiritual healer and teacher. Jessica is committed to empowering women to awaken their soul's purpose, embody and trust their spiritual and intuitive gifts, and live out their life's purpose through aligned action. I met Jessica at my first big mastermind program, and she was just such an incredible presence and energy, and she had such amazing things to say when she tapped into her channeling gifts. So I'm really excited for her to share her story with you today and bring forward any messages that you might need to hear in this session. Jessica, so excited to have you here. You are such a special soul. I cannot wait for you to tap into all of your wisdom and your knowledge and your higher calling and share some messages with my listeners today. And before we do that, before we get into all the fun woo stuff, I really want to hear your story. And I want you to share your story with listeners because you and I met at a retreat and your story just really stuck with me, your journey from engineer to intuitive, essentially. And I know I'm skipping over a lot in between there. So fill in the gaps for listeners, if you will, on your career journey thus far.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was always an overachiever, if you will, right? I always strived to do my best and I guess you could say type A. And as I was going through life, I was doing everything that I was supposed to do. I was checking every single box from religion to career to babies to marriage. You name it, I checked it all. It looked so good. You should have seen the pictures. I've got them. Everything looked really good, but it didn't feel good. And that's the greatest struggle that I find for overachievers is that they know what things want to look like. They just don't know exactly what they want them to feel like. And so they're always chasing a feeling. And that's what I was doing. I was chasing a feeling that one day I'll feel fulfilled. I'll feel purposeful. I'll feel like I did enough. I'll feel worthy. And as I went on my journey, I have a degree in electrical engineering. And I spent 15 years in technology in corporate America, doing some really cool things, right? Like not just little things, but actually helping customers put products and spacecraft into space. And so doing really cool things. And I was making wonderful money. And I was really good at what I did. Really, really good. And so it's not that I didn't have all of that, right? That even afforded me to go buy properties and do all of these extra things. And like I said, on paper, in pictures, everything looks so good. And then as I'm going through this, in about 2015, I'm pregnant with my second child, and I'm starting to realize that I'm not happy. I am not happy, but I don't want anybody else to know. I work so hard, and I work so hard for this. I don't want anybody to know that I'm not happy because I said this is what I wanted. But I had my second child. And a few months after, I would have never said this then, but looking back and now understanding, I was depressed. Depressed in the fact that I wasn't me. I was repressing who I was and who I am. And I didn't know who I was. Like, I knew what my role was. I knew what my titles were, but I didn't know who I was, who Jessica was. I had forgotten what I loved. I had forgotten what brought me true joy. I had forgotten why I really came to this earth. And so I was praying for a miracle. And if you know anything about manifestation or prayer, you'll know you should be very specific in what you ask for.
Carefully so, right?
Yes. And so I was unconsciously praying for a miracle. I wanted things to be different and I didn't know how. So the universe is listening. She needs a miracle. We've got to get her out. She's in deep. We got to get something to really shake this up. The life will never be the same again. That's what she's asking for. So the universe did that for me. And in 2017, I got pregnant with my third child after a miscarriage. So that was difficult, but that wasn't a big enough shakeup, right? That losing that child wasn't a big enough shakeup. So the universe is like, obviously we got to do something bigger. So the universe did. And I was going to the ultrasound in which they scan the entire body of the baby. And we didn't know the sex of the child. It was a surprise, as with our second, which is, you know, one of the greatest surprises that ever existed. The ultrasound tech didn't say much. And I could remember from the past ones, they didn't say that anything was wrong. They were like, things look good, you know, like, but she didn't say anything. And so I was getting a little nervous. And I asked her, is everything okay? And she said, the doctor will call you if anything's wrong. And I was like, but I knew that feeling inside of me. You know, you get the feelings, right? We all have the feelings,
yes,
the knowings.
Yes, of course. Mm-hmm.
So I'm working at my desk because I was a workaholic, hardcore workaholic. And I was working and the doctor called, my OBGYN called and said, I don't want you to look any of this up, but your baby has cysts on its brain and kidney issues. And I didn't even know what that meant. And at that time, now I could feel it. I feel the sadness and the grief of what that is. But at that time, I was so caught up in my proving that I don't feel, or my pride in not feeling.
Yeah.
That I was like, okay. So I looked it up, obviously.
As you do when the doctor tells you not to. Crazy doctor.
Yes. And I found out that there were soft markers for trisomy 18, which is a chromosome condition which your baby does not live. And so I'm holding this baby and I'm about halfway through my pregnancy and I'm like, what am I going to do? And I go into the OBGYN and he says to me, you know, pregnancy can be dangerous, but birth can be life-threatening, and you already have two beautiful children. And I knew what he was saying. He didn't have to say anymore. And this was the first time that something else spoke through me. And it was like the real me, if you will. And it said, yes, if I hold this baby for 5 minutes, or if I hold this baby for the rest of my life, I'm holding this baby. Now, what I will say, because I am a feminist, is that I'm very grateful that I had the opportunity and the options to keep the baby or to not keep the baby. But my choice was to keep the baby. And in that moment, everything changed. My entire life changed. I started going within myself. I started reading more books on spirituality, on how to be present, on all of the things that allowed me to connect more deeply to who I am. And so on Cinco de Mayo 2018, I gave birth to an absolute miracle with nothing wrong. And in that moment, I held that baby and I said, God, I have been so blessed. You have given me life itself. Just tell me what to do and I'll do it. And that's what I've been doing since that day.
I love that. I did not know that story. So thank you for sharing that. That's so vulnerable. Oh my gosh.
Thank you.
Isn't it interesting? I mean, I hear these stories all the time of these shakeups, right, that you mentioned, these shakeups that give us the opportunity to recover that repressed direction or piece of ourselves, whatever you want to call it, right? they shift us. They move us in a different direction if we so accept the challenge. And I think that what all of these stories I hear over and over again have in common is this case for continued spiritual connection, whereby when you are shaken and you do answer the call and you do wake up, going forward, things start to feel a little bit easier. You still have spiritual lessons, you still have challenges, but you don't feel so rattled, right? When they come up, because you're skilled at knowing, okay, this isn't the universe punishing me, or this isn't because I did something wrong, or this isn't because I'm not worthy of what I truly want. This is another gateway. This is another portal. This is another piece of the puzzle. This is another stepping stone that I need to overcome along the way. And it really changes, at least for me, it really changes your entire viewpoint on hardship.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows you to really release a lot of that victim mentality and that self-loathing and tap into excitement and action and confidence and resilience. Right?
Absolutely. Yes. I can expand on that. Is that what you want me to do?
Yeah, go for it. Please.
Yeah. So here's what I'll say. I'll say that for me personally, there's different levels of spirituality, if you will. I was very religious. Now, when I said I'm an overachiever, mm-hmm. I was Catholic. And I wasn't just like, I go to church on Sundays. I was no. I was the Eucharistic minister. I did the body and the blood. I was the lecture reader. I read the scriptures. Wow. My children went to Catholic school. Like, I was in. Okay. I was in it.
You were embodied.
I was embodied. You know, I was doing the Our Father, the Hail Marys every day. Okay. And that got me as far as it could. That spiritual mm-hmm. journey got me as far as I could. Once I encountered the difficulties I faced in 2018, it couldn't take me any further. And it opened this doorway, because what happened is when I was in that space, it was what you talked about. There was a lot of guilt. There was a lot of shame. What did I do? What did I do to deserve this? Right? And I could not live that way anymore. I did not want to live in that mindset. And so I really shifted my life. Now, if you want to take it to radical accountability and radical responsibility. And this is like on the far end of the spectrum. So I want to be really clear as we're talking to the people listening. We could say that I chose this, that there was a part of me that said, yes, I'll sign up for this. And that mm-hmm. not only did I choose this, it's going to make me cry, but that I was chosen, that mm-hmm. I was so trusted, that my soul, mm-hmm. that the divine, that God trusted me so much and said, I know that you can endure this. I know you can do this. And you're going to come out so much better on the other side. So that's one spectrum to the other.
I mean, it's a huge, huge leap, right? To not only in skills, right? And also just your self-trust. Right? Mm. It's a huge leap in self-trust to say, I'm going to recognize this calling. I'm going to see it for what it is. And I'm going to believe that that is the way that I am designed or destined to go. And I'm going to leave this other thing behind, which is known and safe, albeit not fulfilling necessarily. But there's a whole like balance there of perceived risk and loss and a lot of identity stuff wrapped up in that. So tell us a little bit about what it is that you do now. Right? Give us a little bit more about what it is you do now. And how did you take that leap? How did you begin the process of undoing what had been and stepping courageously into way over here, this dream, this yeah. really distant dream, right? That came from within.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll say that the first thing that I did was read books. That's the first thing that I did. The second thing that I did, because I am an achiever, is that I said, well, I want to learn. So I started going to classes. I started going back to school and studying. And so I'm very, very fortunate in Tempe, Arizona, about 15 minutes from where I live, is a school called Southwest Institute of Healing Arts. And there I studied intuitive guidance. I studied spiritual coaching. I studied life coaching. And full circle, they asked me to teach their spiritual studies and their intuitive guidance program. It didn't work out just because it was a huge commitment and I have three little ones. But that was a really beautiful full circle moment. As I was continuing this education, what came to me is healing. And if you want to change your life, there is only one thing you need, and that's healing. That's it. Do it in whatever way that works for you, but healing will change your life. In the beginning, I didn't know that meditation was healing, and I'm an avid meditator. I started with 2 minutes a day, just 2 minutes. I meditate for about 2 hours a day now. Meditation changes lives. But heal in whatever way you desire to heal. In my book, Reclaim Yourself, I make a statement. It says, there's as many ways to heal as there are people on the planet and more. Don't follow someone else's rhythm. Do what you need. Just heal. And that will lead you. Because what it's going to do is you're caked. I want you to think, some people like the onion analogy, but I don't. I like the artichoke analogy. And I'll tell you why.
Okay, I haven't heard this one. I love it. Let's hear it.
So the artichoke, when we peel off the layers of who we're not, of who we were taught to be, of what we think we're supposed to do, of how we think we're supposed to act, of all of the layers that are blocking us, at the center of the artichoke is the heart. Right? So it's becoming who we are. It's getting to the heart of who we are. And I teach a lot on, in fact, I'm running a series this month on how to understand the messages of the heart and understand our intuition and the divine messages from spirit. The greatest way to do that is to heal, because you must let go of what's blocking you from connecting to the divine. Right? The divine is here. It's not out there. It's not anywhere else. Yes, it is there. But the main point is here. It's right inside of us. And we're taught to look outside of us. And that's why meditation is so key. As we go right inside.
When you say there's so many ways to heal, right? As many ways as there are people on this earth. How does somebody who feels the urge to heal and feels this kind of pull intuitively to become or unbecome, right? How do they know where to start? What advice would you have for them? I mean, obviously meditation is a key piece, you've already noted. What might be a couple other common, you know, easy-ish kind of first steps into self-healing, getting back in touch with your heart, with what's within? What would be some of those methods or those modalities?
Yeah. So first I'll say I have a free quiz on my website called the Healing Archetype Quiz. Because, and when you take that, it'll give you your healing archetype, which is an emerging empath, a loyal light worker, or a hidden healer. And within the document that you receive afterwards, you're going to get so much insight into who you are as a person and what you can do to heal. So I'm offering that just to support the listeners here today. Because the pathway to healing is self-realization. You just have to understand yourself. Like, just understand yourself. It's that simple. I have beautiful conversations with myself, and I understand each aspect of me. Now, if I have a fear that comes up, oh, I don't want to do this, or if I have resistance that comes up, I am in communication with that. They are not me, per se, like the me, that is Jessica, but they are a part of me. And so I need to understand, because if not, guess what they're going to do? They're going to self-sabotage. They're going to procrastinate. They're going to do things. They're going to make me focus so hard on that presentation that I'm going to miss the things that I actually need to do, right?
Yes.
So they're going to distract. So I need to understand them. And that's the key. It's just understanding ourselves. So again, heal is the first thing. Meditation, it's simple. You don't need anything else, but I do have free meditations. And then the second thing, take the quiz. And the third thing, just get to know yourself.
I'm going to definitely check out that quiz. It sounds amazing. I feel like it's so difficult, one of the most difficult things in this world. And I'm curious your opinion on this, but to be ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. To just remember who we are after decades of programming and trauma and experiences and influences and just being human, right? Just being in the human experience. To begin to show up differently and to find the confidence to know what your true self looks like. And to make choices from that place is really, really hard without being tapped into your intuition. And at least for me, that recovery or reclamation, as you're so lovely calling it, is getting back in touch with that inner voice. And I get this question all the time, which is, well, how do I do that? How do I access my intuition? How do I strengthen that muscle? I'd love to hear from you for the audience. What are some tips that you have or some advice on how to understand intuition and then also to be able to begin to tap that resource, that wellspring of wisdom and knowledge and guidance?
Yeah, beautiful question. So what I will say is that our intuition, or the divine, spirit, source, God, universe, whatever you want to call it, is always talking, always guiding us. I know for me, I have made decisions where I was like, yeah, I probably should have done that. There were some signs.
Haven't we all?
Right?
Because those big red flags I ignored.
Yes, yes.
Sure, they were green.
Yeah, especially in relationships, right? Yeah. And so I laugh about it, but they're all there. It's always there. We're just ignoring it. So it's not that we have to learn how to tap in. They were there. When you look back, the signs were there. The only thing you have to do is trust. And that's the hardest part. Because as women, and P.S., I'm getting my master's in women's spirituality. So I focus a lot on women and on spirituality and on religion, and I get to study it across the entire world. What I have learned in this program and understanding trauma and understanding challenges is that women are taught not to trust themselves. And it's not just as, right? Yeah, take a breath on that one.
Yeah, ooh, that one hits, right? Jeez. Yeah.
It's not that it's just like our parents that are teaching us this. It is society. It is culture, it is academia, it is everywhere you look. You know, well, did you ask this person? I mean, that is your answer, but have you checked with this? Have you thought about this? Right? Mm-hmm. So then when something happens in our lives, what are we doing? We're questioning and questioning and questioning, and we're going to everybody else to try to confirm, is this what I should do with my life? Meditate, heal. Yes. Come inside. Everything's right inside here. It is not out there. Okay. And so the answer to your question is, there's a book called The Alchemist and it says, heed the omens.
Oh.
Right.
And love The Alchemist.
I love The Alchemist. So it's like, honor what's around you. Honor the red flags. Honor the feelings in your body. Honor the emotions that you feel. Now, there's a completely another additional level that I'm not going to get into here, because the way that we interpret our intuitive insights is filtered through the lens in which we have or have not healed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
I'm not going to go into that level. So for all of those who are listening, just start to become aware of the signs that are available to you within your body. You'll know. And then look back at the decisions you've made and say, well, what did I feel at that time? What was happening? What were the red flags so that I don't repeat this?
Yeah. I always, we were talking this week in my Anti-Hustle Academy about intuition. And I always like to say that it's like when you go to a restaurant and you open up a menu and you're like, I want a cheeseburger. And then you're like, no, summer's coming up. Maybe I should have a salad. And you start kind of, you know, your brain kicks in and you do all this analysis and you put all these conditions on it and situational elements. And then after you order the salad, you're like, man, I really wish I would have had that cheeseburger and just like gone with my gut, right? It's to me, my intuition is just that very first instinct that's just calm, direct, you know, non-judgmental, not super emotionally charged. It's just like, turn left.
Yeah.
You know, look here.
Yeah.
Have that conversation.
Yes. Yes.
And it's small, right? I mean, most of the time it's these really small things. It's not like,
yes.
You know,
I'm only laughing because people like expect this, like the sky to open and these huge, profound like messages to pour through, right? It's like, no, it's turn left. Like,
yeah. Well, and I think it's so important to acknowledge that, because I think when you don't realize that, you don't recognize that, then you are looking for like literally a billboard that's going to like say, you know, write your book. And it's like, no, that's just not how it works all the time. Sometimes, yeah, maybe, right? But in most cases, it's these tiny little nudges. And I think that's why we miss them so easily, because they're so subtle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think just breaking it down into these like manageable expectations helps people to conceptualize what that looks like in practice, like getting into your intuition. Breathwork has really helped me kind of tap into that a little bit deeper too. I don't know about you, but I've always found that really helpful.
Yeah. Not for me, mm-hmm. but that's because I meditated probably for 5 years before breathwork. So breathwork puts me into action. Like it's very active for me, but mm-hmm. not necessarily taps me into my intuition, because I'm already so tapped in that it's like, okay, no, let's just take actions.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoa. I gotta slow down this breathwork, because I gotta ground here. But I do love breathwork. It is amazing, an amazing modality.
So with the rest of the time we have, I want to give you the space to share anything that you are channeling that's coming in that you feel is destined for this conversation, and just be in the spirit of spirit.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you. I appreciate that. We appreciate that. So what's coming is that there's a lot of changes happening within the world, within relationships, within life, within business, and allow yourself to experience the grief. Allow yourself to be with the changes. It's okay to feel all of your feelings, and it's okay not to know how to be with your feelings, and to process and to give yourself the time and the space that you need. Because so many things are happening in the background that we have no idea. We have no idea how things are lining up for us. So what I'm getting is, give yourself time. It doesn't have to be now. It doesn't have to be this instant. And then if it doesn't happen this instant, then God or universe or spirit or my intuition is wrong. Let go of your expectations. That's not intuition. Your expectations are not intuition.
That's hustle culture. We don't do that here.
Yeah. Right? I mean,
let go.
You know, it's necessary to be on time, you know, to go and show up on time to meetings and those types of things and get projects done. But also, you need to listen to what's within you and say, is this for me? Because what's going to happen is that you're going to get overwhelmed, okay? And overwhelm is just a cover, because under overwhelm is anxiety. And under anxiety is actually what I've discovered is anger. Under that, in that anger, because so many of us don't know how to show our anger, don't know how to express our anger, don't know how to be with our anger, are terrified of our anger, just want to control our anger, we don't know what to do with it. So instead, we feel anxious, because anxious is an okay feeling to feel. Anxiety is an okay feeling to have. We could talk about anxiety all day long. Oh yes, I have anxiety, but I can't really talk about my anger, because I don't want to be judged and I don't want to be shamed. And then, well, I don't really know what to do with this anxiety, so I'm going to put it to work, especially the overachievers. I'm going to go, go, go. I'm going to do, do, do. I'm going to push. I'm going to hustle. I'm going to go at it with all full force. Your anger wants to grieve. Let it grieve. And I know I'm going full force here and going right into the biggest emotion that we could ever have.
I love it.
But, you know, if we don't express our anger, then we'll take it out on those we love, typically. Right? And that's the last thing that we want to do, because then what do we feel? Then we feel guilt. Then we feel shame. Then we feel upset. And so honor your anger. And that's the message that I'm getting, is honor the anger. It's okay to be angry. Anger is a perfectly normal emotion. And this is one side of spirituality, New Age spirituality, that I'm not in alignment with, that just stay in high vibe. No, feel how you feel. Honor how you feel. Now, I will say this, the behavior that follows anger can be completely unacceptable.
Right? Yes.
Mm-hmm. The emotion, though, is perfectly normal.
I think there's a difference between honoring your emotions and feeling what you need to feel and letting them consume you and carry you away. Mm-hmm. And it sometimes is a fine line.
It is. Because I know I've been in times where it felt like the anger was me, right?
Yeah.
It's like takes yes, over my definitely. Whole body. And then I can't, I'm saying this in quotes if you can't see this, control myself. And as women, that's mm-hmm. what we're taught to do, right? We have to control ourselves. Yes. So I must not share my anger because in anger, I can't control who I am. I can't control myself. Mm-hmm. And then I'm labeled crazy. Mm-hmm. So we have to find a good coping, and I don't want to call it a coping strategy because spirituality is not a coping strategy. We need to find a beautiful relationship with the divine to be with us in our anger. And that is the key. Let the divine into every aspect of your life. Doesn't just want to be in the joy. I promise you that. It loves every aspect of you and your life. It wants to be in the anger with you, beautiful. To carry you and to soothe you and to love you so that you know that this love is unconditional. It's not conditioned. If you act this way or be this way or think this way, then I'll love you. No way. That is a very religious viewpoint, if you will. A dogmatic viewpoint, I should say, not religious, but dogmatic viewpoint, right? We're here mm-hmm. to experience unconditional love in every aspect of our being. And that includes anger and rage and grief and sadness and every emotion. So that is the message that I have.
I love that. It's so important. And I thank you so much for bringing it forward in such a beautiful way. So I feel so blessed I could talk to you all day. I could just go down so many rabbit holes. So before we head out, is there anything else you want to share with the audience? And I'll put it obviously in the show notes, but tell us where people can find you, where they can learn more and where they can dive deeper.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm at lovepersonalgrowth.com and my website is www.lovepersonalgrowth.com. I registered, trademarked it, and I love personal growth. That's why I picked it. And also it was divinely guided and it was available amazingly on every platform when it was picked.
What? Yeah. That's wild.
I know, right?
Meant to be.
Yes. And so I do spiritual mentorships and they range from $33 to $500 and getting the support that you need on a monthly basis to experience what it truly means to be loved by the divine and to connect to the truth of who you are. So yeah.
Incredible. Well, I'm so glad that you embraced your purpose.
Thank you.
And that you graced our presence today to share some of that journey and some really awesome takeaways. So thank you so much for being here, Jessica, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you, Marissa, for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Beyond Busy. If you liked what you heard, make sure you hit subscribe so that you never miss an episode. Show us some love by leaving a review and share it with those who may need this message. Want more? Hop on over to Instagram and follow Breakup with Busy. Want to chat one-to-one about these topics in depth? Visit breakupwithbusy.com and grab a time to connect with me directly. Until next time, sending you love and light.